Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Well, we definitely lost a great one today in Don Shula. And we open up the show talking about his impact on the game. We go to the VIP line right now. Former Miami Dolphins and Denver Bronco, Marco Coleman, joining the show. Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. Marco, good evening and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing good, man. And as we start off the show about a half hour ago, like, man, Don Shula, just one of the greatest, if not the greatest coach of all time. You played for him. Tell us what that experience was like.
I tell you, learned how to be a true professional. Not only himself, but surrounded the whole organization with coaches and such that that I learned real quickly what it's like to be a pro. I caught him towards the latter part of his coaching tenure, but it was enough guys around that his influence definitely was showing, and those guys did a good job of making sure we understood the Don Shula way. It was a phenomenal, great experience, and it was truly a privilege to have that opportunity to have been coached by that legend.
Marco, you know, you've had a chance to, you know, play for two legendary coaches, Don Shula being one and Mike Shanahan being the other. How would you kind of, you know, characterize the differences between the two coaches?
I would say, like I said, I caught Coach Shula towards the latter part of his career. I would say there was a lot of similarities in the way that they went about things. I would say the biggest thing is that the way they conducted and managed men. Throughout my career, I was fortunate to play, for 14 seasons, play for several different head coaches. And I can say that those two men were really great at just letting a man be a man. I mean, it was truly a men's atmosphere where the responsibility, not checking up. And, you really knew that you had left college. And I'm not sure right now with a lot of the things that's going on, if that's truly the case, because you've had more guys with a longer tenure on the teams. Teams are a little younger now, kind of had to, more guys with large families and things of that nature. So it was a man's man, just like Coach Shanahan.
Marco Coleman joining us here on Nick and Cecil, former Dolphins and Broncos defensive end, of course, former first-round pick, 1992 NFL Draft. You mentioned that about the tenure that both Don Shula and Mike Shanahan had. Just how much was it almost edge of your seat listening, if you will, just because of that knowledge base? And as you said, some of these younger coaches, a guy was a quarterback's coach last year, now he's a head coach. When you walk into the NFL and a guy like Don Shula is your head coach just with the decades of experience, how does that maybe change a young player's perspective where, this guy's seen it all, done it all, taught it all?
Well, when you walk in as a young player and you see the respect that the older veterans have for the coach, hey, this that's the coach, I don't like that, or this ain't the way the coach will want to see it, or this will be the right way thing to do, this is the way coach wants it. They don't have to say much. When they've the way they've established themselves over their time and the reputation, there's not much really those guys have to say. They do a good job of surrounding guys on the team, having men that to lead that do a good job of driving their message home. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think the true mark of a head coach is being able to identify the guys in that locker room that can get the team going. Because ultimately, the coach isn't going to play, so he has to be probably the best judge of character in that locker room on how to have the right type of people to deliver the message and also, get that mission taken care of. So I would say those guys didn't have to say much. They did a good job of getting the right people in there to get it all done.
Marco, in 1992, you were with the Miami Dolphins, and you got a chance to see something that most people on the outside didn't really get a chance to see. Both John Shula interact with then quarterback Dan Marino. What was it like? Because, you know, as players, that's the biggest thing. The relationship that you establish with that player and being able to push that player. So what was it like for you being a defensive guy watching these two guys work every single day?
That was more intense than anything. Well, I'll say game day. Throughout the week, again, you had an established veteran by the time I got there and a head coach. They all knew how to work. You know, preparation was one thing that was, and I'll even say the same about Coach Shanahan, the preparation was paramount. And we had veteran guys, excuse me, that knew how to prepare, and the standard was set. And now on game day, oh, man, it was intense. They had such a relationship such that they could demand the most out of each other and get into a very heated exchange to where somebody on the outside looking in would think it would be a distraction, but all it did was just fuel a fire, and then the next thing you know, you got big plays all over the place. So as a young player coming in, I had never seen anything like it. You know, it wasn't a matter of Dan challenging Coach Shula's authority, but more of Coach Shula knowing how to press the buttons. You know, again, you know, that's the mark of a great head coach, knowing his players, knowing what his great player is going to take to get him to stay motivated, to motivate him. And that's what I'll say, because he did a great job of that.
It's Marco Coleman, former first-round pick of the Miami Dolphins, also played for your Denver Broncos right here with Nick Ferguson. And Marco, now for me in 92, I mean, I was all over it, right? Like watching the NFL draft, getting as much information. My man Von Dunbar from Indiana didn't do anything, but like, I mean, I was all over that draft. That was the Entman and Quentin Coriat draft as well, starting out 1 and 2 there for the Colts. But for you as a first-round pick, when you watch the draft today, and this year was a, you know, weird year with the coronavirus thing, but like when you watch the festivities in Nashville and you see it, you know, what they had planned in Vegas and Philadelphia, you know, took it to the next level. When you see just how popular the draft has become, you kind of shake your head. Did you ever think it would get this popular where it's TV ratings are better than the World Series and the NBA Finals?
Well, you know, football is the highest grossing professional sport, you know, and it's got to continuously look to grow, or you get stagnant, then you get left behind. I'm sure that the guys, you know, when I got drafted, I actually had a, you know, ESPN was at a sports bar with me and my family. It was televised and things, and I'm quite sure the guys probably 10 to 15 years prior to that saw that and said, wow, what a big, you know, where, look at where it's gone. And, you know, I don't even think see it as, you know, probably propel itself even further. We got some outstanding people that work within the NFL that have some really good thoughts of the future of the game. So, you know, I'm actually not surprised. I mean, the popularity of the game, that's what everybody's been striving for. And they're reaping the benefits of it now.
Marco, 05-06 here with the Denver Broncos was a great season for us, but it didn't end the way that we wanted to. Do you find yourself like me looking back on that time, that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and think about what could have been?
Oh, yeah, all the time, man. That was my last game. You know, I never played another professional football game after that. So definitely, you know, not just as a team, but even myself, what could I have done to have made a bigger difference into the game? You know, and, you know, I think that's something that, you know, when you don't want to, you know, any career with any regrets. I didn't regret with my effort, I guess you could say, but just if it was there something else I could do, I continuously ask myself about it. I'm a little over it now, but I still don't forget it. You know, thanks for reminding me, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, my bad, man. Yeah. Listen, I wanted to see if you think about it as much as I do, because every time, you know, during the postseason, it comes back, man, and it's hard for me to watch the postseason. I just wanted to see if I was by myself.
Yeah, man, it took me a minute to get over that, man. You know, that's a tough one. Like I said, it was the last time I played. I don't know if you know, man, I sat in that locker room and cried like a baby, because I knew it was going to be my last, you know, the last time I was going to play, because, you know, I just wanted to be more involved in my family. And I was hoping that the last game would be the darn Super Bowl, man. So it was very disappointing for me to lose the game, but I gave it everything I had for the game, that game and my career. So no regrets in that regard, but shoot, man, you know, I tell these young men all the time, coaching, they do it to take now, that you when you lose a game, you know, you don't look at anybody else, but you look at yourself and ask the question, what could you have done to have impact or change any portion of the game, you know? And you got to always ask yourself that thing first before you kind of spread the blame or try to accuse or come up with any other kind of rationale as to why you lost. Thanks, Nick. I don't even know if I'm going to sleep tonight.
Oh, my bad, man.
That's what Nick Ferguson does.
Oh, that's what he does, come on.
He'll rile you up.
Oh. All right. So, before we let you go, I have to ask you this question. It's a Bernie question. I get asked about it all the time, and people try to stump on my head about it. 1990, there was a national championship. It was co-championship between CU and Georgia Tech. And I constantly hear that CU won that outright. So I'm going to give you the floor, and you can finally put this one to bed. So who really won that title as far as national championship, and should it be a co-championship that been given to both teams?
Well, I'll first say this. You know, I had the opportunity to be a teammate for a little while, the San Diego Chargers with Eric Bieden. And he was on that Colorado team, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
He's been doing a great job in the NFL. He's a really good football player. Enjoyed the banter even when we were in San Diego. But the fact still remains. Okay, one, we didn't lose a game. They did. Matter of fact, we're going to have an asterisk by one of those games with the five downs that we all
That was a Missouri game.
And it was an obvious, an egregious mistake by that referee. But either way, they got one loss. We didn't have any. And then when you go into, you had two polls, you know, and someone that is really, a rational person would look at, hey, the coaches, the experts that play this game or coach or involved with it chose the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. The immediate guys like Nick Ferguson that are on the radio.
What do you mean?
Nice.
Chose the Colorado, the Colorado Buffalo. So, you know, like I said, phenomenal football team. That has some great football players on there, man. But, you know, I think we had a really good football team, and I would have enjoyed the opportunity to play them. You know, it's like they're doing now. I think they got it right now. Let it be solved on the field and not up to, you know, other people's opinions. You know, but I mean, hey, I don't know how many teams were undefeated that season, but I know Georgia Tech was.
See, but there it is in a nutshell. And finally, we can let dead dogs lie. I've been being crushed about it, so I figured, okay, well, who better to talk about it than someone was on that 1990 championship, man. But thanks for joining us, talking about Don Shula and just kind of going back and reminiscing about our days at Denver Broncos. And I sincerely apologize for bringing up something old from 05, 06 season.
Not yet.
So hopefully you can sleep tonight.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
All right, man. Go Jackets.
Go Jackets.
There it is. This is Marco Coleman, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the VIP line. Nick, it was his last game, man.
I know.
That was his last game. Hey, Marco, in your last football game that we lost, we could have gone to the Super Bowl. How'd that feel?
Well, wait a minute. That's not how I phrased it. I just asked him if he thought about it as much as I do. And
it's
trust
his
me,
last football game.
Listen, I know.
We all remember our last football game.
Listen, I know he said that. He sat in the locker room and he cried. And I saw that. So it hurt me because when I was at Georgia Tech, Marco was the first guy I came across. And I said I had aspirations of playing in the league. He was the first guy I spoke to that gave me the confidence that I could actually get to that next level. So to be teammates with him in his final year and knowing as though how much that meant to him and we didn't, you know, make it to the Super Bowl, I was hurt as well. I mean, I didn't cry in the locker room, but, you know, I shed my tears on the way home. I didn't even talk to my then wife on the drive home, Sisu. We didn't talk at all. It was just like she knew not to mention a word, right?
Right.
And I couldn't talk about it. And as men, we don't normally don't say, well, you know, we cried for, you know, a certain situation. Oh, and it's just a kid's game. Why are you crying over a football game? But Marco talked about how he cried. I cried because it meant a lot to me, and I knew it meant a lot to him. So it hurt me. that we could not, you know, get him, you know, over the finish line. So I just have to call him back and make sure that I didn't give him some nightmares,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, shoot him a text, man. Shoot him a text. Because misery loves company.
Come on, man.
It is May the 4th, and May the 4th be with you all out there. And how the Denver Broncos line up with Star Wars characters, they actually do. We'll tell you next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.